I'll look back now at someone who lived in a modest little apartment on Main Street in Royal Oak, who drove a beat-up Volkswagen van, and who made headlines that resounded around the world. It was on this day, December 3rd, 1990, that Dr. Jack Kevorkian was first charged with murder.
That's my duty. I'm pretty pleased to have done my duty, not like other doctors who cowardly turn away.
Charged in the death of Janet Adkins, an Alzheimer's patient who had traveled to Michigan from Oregon seeking Dr. Kevorkian's help in ending her life. Oakland County's then prosecutor Richard Thompson said he was not going to allow Oakland County to be turned into, in his words, the suicide mecca of our nation. Michigan Radio's Jack Lessenberry joins us now. Jack covered Dr. Kevorkian extensively. Jack, did prosecutor Thompson achieve his goal of not letting Oakland County become the suicide mecca of America?
Well, not at all. Eventually, Kevorkian got himself sent to jail, but that was long after Thompson had been defeated and was no longer on the scene. Back 20 years ago, what happened was charged him with murder, and the evidence was presented to a district judge, Gerald McNally, who scratched his head and said, this isn't murder, and there isn't any law in Michigan against assisted suicide. So Kevorkian ended up being charged in that case with nothing. Eventually, the state did pass an assisted suicide law. They also claimed there was a common law against assisted suicide. But Kevorkian, with a big assist from Jeffrey Feiger, sort of became a national figure and one who, for much of that time, was perceived as being sympathetic by a vast majority of, or at least by a fairly large majority of the public.
Jack, most of America saw Jack Kevorkian through the 20-second soundbites on the 11 o'clock news or as a punchline for David Letterman jokes. In fact, Letterman never pronounced his name properly, ever. I'd like your thoughts. As you covered this man and you interviewed him and you came to know him, how different was he from the man most of America saw on the news?
Well, it depends on which Kevorkian you saw on the news at any one time. Kevorkian himself was more a scientist than a doctor. He'd been a pathologist. He mainly dissected corpses. And he was an intellectual. He was fascinated by symptoms, obsessed with death, and obsessed with the idea of organ transplants. He had the idea, really, what he really wanted was to find people who didn't want to live any longer, end their lives, and harvest their organs. But he was presented by Jeffrey Feiger, the attorney, as very skillfully helped him appear as sort of a kindly, sort of dark Dr. Marcus Welby kind of person concerned with alleviating people's suffering. The tactics of the prosecutors were very poor. They were very sort of oafish. They would brutalize witnesses. I remember one lady was just a poor housewife who was a friend of somebody, and they just made her cry. And jurors tend to be people who are older, and if you live to a certain age, you've probably seen some relative, possibly a parent, die in great agony over a long period of time. And so they're always, the jurors were always sympathetic, not so much to Kevorkian, but to the idea of ending somebody's suffering who didn't want to live anymore.
When you would sit with him one-on-one and talk with him, what were your impressions of him as a person?
Well, I think he was brilliant, after all. He probably had an IQ of 200. He could write one direction with one hand and another direction with another hand at the same time. You wouldn't believe it till you saw it. You sort of liked me because I could speak some languages he could speak, and we would do that. But he basically was interested mainly in science. He was a restless person, and he was a self-destructive person. He started a lot of things throughout his life and never finished them, started projects and not finished them. And this was the only one that seemed to give him any kind of notoriety or any kind of lasting presence in the public eye, which he liked, even though he claimed not to like it. And he was a very different individual, let's say that.
The relationship between Jack Kevorkian and his attorney, Jeffrey Feiger, was a big, big part of the whole story. Can you tell us what you observed between these two men? Did Jeff Feiger and his theatrical personality help or hurt Dr. Kevorkian and his cause?
Well, if it hadn't been for Feiger, there wouldn't have been any Kevorkian. Kevorkian would have been thrown in jail and convicted of something after the first suicide, and he never would have been heard of again. But Feiger certainly saw Kevorkian as a ticket to state and national fame, but he also was compassionate about him. Feiger's own father, to whom he'd been close, had died just a few years prior to this in great agony over a period of time. Feiger believed in this right. Feiger cared about Kevorkian. He genuinely had personal affection for him. He certainly helped Feiger get a lot of business. Feiger defended him for free, but he really cared about him. I don't think Kevorkian was capable of caring about another human being. And eventually, Kevorkian sort of sabotaged himself and Figer by firing Figer and insisting on acting as his own attorney, even though judges had told him that would be an extremely poor idea.
Before he died last year, he was 83. Dr. Kevorkian had finally done time in prison. They finally got a conviction. Then he came out and had been played by Al Pacino in an HBO movie. How much did that impress him or affect him? I know he was doing art shows of his macabre art. And how much did he enjoy that limelight?
He enjoyed it. He claimed not to enjoy it, but he did enjoy it. What he found out, he was sort of dismayed. He died very disillusioned. He thought that when he was sent to prison that people would demand he be released from prison. Well, as a prosecutor told me the day he was taken away, some prisoners don't usually get to hold press conferences. And so Kevorkian went to prison in 1999. The next year we had the famous disputed election and then 9/11. And in the aftermath of 9/11 and two wars, people weren't that interested in the idea of people killing themselves or not. Now, the problem hasn't gone away. I think it's very important to stress that there's a lot of people who are still living lives of agony and without sort of a public representative out there. But the true Kevorkian, there's Kevorkian, the man and the myth, and then there's the issue. And those, while the man is certainly dead, the issue hasn't gone away.
In fact, you touched on something. I wondered if you saw anyone taking up the mantle kind of as the figurehead of the Right to Die movement.
Well, no, there are. It's sort of gone underground. There are certainly doctors, and I know some that certainly have helped patients end it all at the end of their lives. But I think the lasting impact of Kevorkian has been twofold. We've had two states now, Washington and Oregon, have legalized suicide for the terminally ill, and we have the hospice movement, and it is undeniably clear, and even opponents of Kevorkian will tell you, that doctors were far too callous about things like pain management, and they've become aware, because of Kevorkian, they need to do more about that, so that I think that a lot of people now who are near the end of their lives can get, it's much easier for them to get pain medication to be sort of helped to a soft landing than it was before Kevorkian started his crusade. Now, that's not saying that Kevorkian wasn't right in some instances. That's not saying that he was right in any instance. But certainly, Kevorkian inspired the hospice movement and has inspired some states to allow the terminally ill to die.
Jack Lesenberry, thanks for sharing your thoughts and your memories of Dr. Jack Kevorkian with us today.
Thank you.
Jack Lesenberry, Michigan Radio's political analyst. It was 22 years ago this day that Dr. Jack Kevorkian was first charged with murder. Still to come, the China Passenger Car Association is projecting sales of 20 million vehicles in China this year. We'll find out what that means for domestic automakers coming up in 10 minutes here on Stateside.